You know, people say, Dave, is there a call on your life? Well, there certainly was this morning, about 7:30 when Sandy called me. And there I am, minding my own business and drinking coffee. And Sandy, she didn't call me. The text came, the message came as a text, And she's not feeling well. You know, she was feeling sick, and she wanted to be here, and I wanted her to be here, because God always speaks to her so wonderfully when she goes on vacation. You know, on the trip down, she's got a long trip down there, and so God, and she listens to worship the whole time, and God really speaks to her. And then on the way back, she's got all that time for God to speak to her, and I'm just sure she has some tremendous information for us, revelation. This month is a season for everything, and so she'll be back. We're gonna change it up a little bit. I was gonna do this Sunday or next Sunday. I was gonna do the following Sunday. I don't know how that affects anything, but we're ready. They say, Dave, are you ready? And I say, absolutely not, I'm never ready. You know, Judy always goes, are you ready, Dave? No, I'm not ready. How many times do you go back in the house after you go to the car, you know? I mean, I'm doing that all the time, and it makes her so mad, you know? But, you know, my son would say that to me, Dad, are you ready? I go, nope, I'm not ready. I never seem like I'm ready. I don't know. There's always something to add, especially spiritually. I mean, there's so much, you know, and there's so much in this hour that is there for us to help us through. You know, the storms of life, there just seems to be coming and coming and coming, you know, all the time. And, you know, they affect us personally, and you know, like with the passing of Judy and others. You know, I've had a couple deaths, two deaths besides Judy's in the past month, people I've known, and I wasn't ready for them. I feel like I'm more ready for me to pass than some of these people. You know, I mean, you know, Jennifer passed, Gogaskis passed. A woman that was so full of energy and life, and you know when they say bigger than life, oh, she is bigger than life. Yet, you know, I mean, you just don't know. And that's about a season for everything. You know, some people would say, you know, I always use Ecclesiastes. We're going to start there in Ecclesiastes. Now, over, you know, my life as a minister, I have done hundreds of funerals. I mean, literally hundreds. And I do a very good funeral. So if you want to sign up, there'll be a sign-up sheet in the back of the... I mean, people deserve a good funeral. And you can find something good to say about everybody. I'm telling you, you really could. I can anyway, but that's just my nature, you know. And I always used, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes. And it says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season. You know, we're in fall. Summer, fall, winter, spring. And there's these seasons of life. And as we go into fall, October, yes, it's October 3rd. I mean, the trees are showing us how to die beautifully, aren't they? I mean, just an incredible season of life. And when I die, you know, I want to die beautifully. I want to die with grace and love and just so full of all that God is and has done for me. To everything there is a season. You know,
Some would say America is in the season of decline. Well, you know, if you look at systems, systems go through cycles. They go through cycles, and there's cycles of birth and death and rebirth, and there's the seasons of decline. You know, it's hard to keep everything at a humming at a level of, you know, absolute efficiency all the time. There's going to be decline. They're human systems, you know, and we have to learn how to live through these seasons of life. You know, I've had seasons of great health and seasons of decline. And how I live through those is a witness to what God's doing in my life. How we handle those changes in season. Now, I'm a summer person, okay? I'm a summer person. Some people are winter people, you know. Do we have any winter people here? Oh, I am married to a winter person. They're annoying. Oh my gosh. You know. I love snow. What? You know. Judy did not miss a day walking in the snow, you know. I'm hiding under the blankets. Dave, it's just weather. It's terrible weather, you know. And every fall I go, I'm going to enjoy winter this year. And every year I fail miserably. Oh my God, I am a cold baby. You know, it's just, I'm cold all the time, and I get colder with age. But, so I don't know how many, you know, then there's springtime, times of refreshing. We had a move in the church, many moves in the church, different churches I've been in, and we had this time of refreshing. It wasn't revival. That's another time, okay? This was a time of refreshing. And that's, you know, we sung refreshing songs and did all these different things that just brought new energy and new life, new growth, new fruit to our lives. And we need those times. We need those times. But I've watched, you know, churches go through great times when there's been a lot of juice on it. And then churches go through decline. I mean, it just can't seem like you can keep it going all the time. You know what I mean? And there's always a cycle. There's always a cycle of death and birth and resurrection to everything. There is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. It's in God's timing and purpose. Your life, what you're going through right now, possibly a change, transition. It's God's purpose that you grow. And but we don't always grow through activity. Do you know that? We do, and I think fall and winter are signs of that. You don't always grow through activity. You can go deeper. You can go deeper in different times. It says a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, harvest time. So we all see that we're in harvest time right now, and you know, all the labor, all the work. Many of you might be in a time of harvest, you know, where you're reaping what you sowed into in a wonderful way. I'd like to say it in a positive way, maybe with your children, you know, maybe with your finances. But there's these cycles that, you know, you won't know which way it's going to go at some time. Sometime, but just hold on. He's our firm foundation. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. And I think that we have to be aware of, even when there's a breakdown in a structure, we as believers need to be there to help build people and systems up. We're in this thing where there's a lot of talk about deconstruction. Deconstruction in the church. Taking patterns that we've seen for many, many, many years, examining them and tearing them down. I mean, and it's pretty brutal. It can be very brutal. And I am not a deconstructionist, okay? I mean, I had a business called Walker Restoration, where I restored furniture and restored old stuff. People bring me their old stuff and say, make something nice out of it. And we would. You know, somebody's grandpa's gas can, we'd make a lamp out of it. You know, or mom's sewing machine. Everybody's got an old sewing machine. And, you know, make a table out of it. You know, make something out of it. So that's my mentality of not deconstructions. It's reconstruction and restoration. Getting back to the original intent of what is meant to be. And we can shift off the foundation. We can shift off of it and lose our way and be influenced to destroy things around us. Be mean and nasty and judgmental and, unloving and all that things. All those things. But as believers, we need to build up. And that's the prophetic call on people's life, to encourage and build up. I'm done with mean Christianity, folks. I'm done with it. There's just no room in my heart at this time of life for that kind of rhetoric of critical judgment. It's just not going to work for me. It doesn't help me complete the call of God on my life, you know? Edification, exhortation, and comfort is my call. And I think it's your call, many of your calls in this time. And we can do it through worship. You know, we can do it through service. We can bring coats in. You know, we can help feed the hungry. We can find so many wonderful good things to do in this hour and in this life and be constructive with our time, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, because the times are evil. We can all agree with that. You know, it's tough out there. It says a time to weep and a time to laugh. Oh my gosh, I can weep so easily these days. Just my heart over certain things is broken. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean, Judy's empty chair. It can make you weep. You know, others that have... You know, it's difficult. It can just make you weep. And my heart is so tender. I cried about over my kids this week, thinking of how excited and young they were and how much fun we had and how it's even hard to see them now these days. You know, they're so busy. You know, and then I just start to cry. I don't know, you know. Testosterone levels are dropping. Give me some chocolate, or some Lorna Doones. You know what I mean? Oh, and what's it say? A time to laugh. Oh, we've laughed. A time to mourn and a time to dance. All these things in life that help us through. When a man's heart is full, he must dance. I love to dance. I love to dance in worship. I love to dance with my wife. You know, I when I was young, I didn't dance enough because I was self-conscious about how I looked. Did I look cool? Now you dance like nobody's watching. You know what I mean? Oh, my gosh. I mean, just a time to dance and a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. We have gone through that quite recently. Give me a fist pump. Oh my gosh. Remember when you used to hug everybody? Geez, in church especially. Group hug, you know. And now we had kind of refrained from it out of caution and concern and all these, you know, things that we never saw we'd see that. But there's a time in every season, every purpose under heaven. Oh, it says a time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I always talk about this in funerals when I'm doing, you know, a funeral for a builder, the people that taught us everything, how to save money, how to, you know, there are parents mostly, you know, they went through the Great Depression or on the edge of the Great Depression, the greatest generation that ever lived, because they taught us so much. And that's where button jars come from, because before they threw a shirt away, they took the buttons off. Because they were that frugal. Because they lived through a depression. They lived through a time of decline. And they were well aware of it. That they needed to, you know, save everything. That's why our garages are so full, I think. You know, I mean, so we're living, instead of in a throwaway society, well, we throw away everything. You know, I always say my dad never taught me how to make money. He taught me how to fix things. I'm grateful for that, you know. But, I mean, that's the kind of seasons of life. And we're in a whole different season, you know, in this hour. It says, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Oh, do we need that? I have, you know, learned more about that in the last couple months, you know, year. That the first commandment is not, thou shalt be right. You know, and I want to be right. Don't we all want to be right? Why don't we want to be right? I want to be right. You know, but we have to be quiet sometimes for the sake of unity, for the sake of friendship, for the sake of family. Just shut up. You know what I mean? Oh, it says here, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You know, the word peace, to me, is synonymous with the word that I talked about. Last month, which was trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And this month dovetails right into this message and Ron's message. You know, I see this flow of the Spirit in what we talk about over the months and what we're going through. You know, it's Paul Harvey. I don't know how many remember Paul Harvey. Okay. He was a radio personality, social and political commentator, but he would say, now you know the rest of the story. Well, this peace and trust is synonymous with the word rest. And rest is very important in this season of turmoil. What did we tell Sandy when she was not feeling well? Just stay home and rest. Just stay home and rest. Rest has become very important, especially, you know, through this whole COVID thing. What's the best thing for you? Stay home and rest. Stay home and rest. And I think we find it really difficult to rest in times of turmoil. Because it's moving in the opposite spirit of what's going on. But it's so important for our strength to rest and trust in God. And it says here in Hebrews, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. And that word rest is Sabbath. And we're not looking at Sabbath as a, you know, as a legalistic Sunday kind of thing, although I do love and appreciate Sunday. I really do. I mean, you're not going to find me out there cutting my grass, and I don't know why. Maybe it's my age, but, you know, out of respect for those around me, my neighbors, everything, I think we need a time of rest. I really enjoy coming together and trusting with other people, believing with other people, being at peace with a community of peace. There therefore remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. If we're people of God, we're going to have to find this rest, this place of rest. We know ultimately there is a rest. I'm talking about at the end of life. But it's different for us as people of God. We have hope. We have hope for Judy. In fact, her service is coming up next Saturday, right at noon? I think at noon. Yeah, and we're going to be hopeful. We're going to be joyful. Yes, we're going to miss her, and we love her. But we have hope. And that's how it is in this hour of whatever shape the country's in, whatever shape the politics. And we have hope. We have hope. Because our rest is in Him. Our trust is in Him. Not in a system. It may be in decline, may not be. I mean, there's seasons of life. We talk the seasons of life. And we've been through many seasons. And us, you know, some of us who are older, I didn't know that Judy was older than me. You know, I think she's 77, 78, something like that, right in there, you know. And I always brag about being the oldest person in the congregation, and she wouldn't say a thing. Oh. She never even said anything to me, you know? She didn't even tell me. But anyway, there's this rest for the people of God. It's a special, special time, a Sabbath time. This not only goes on throughout our life that we find it in intimacy with God, but at the end of the day. I mean, so this life in death, this life in death, which is so hard to wrap our head around, but as you get closer to it or be challenged by a life and death situation, you're going to have to make peace with it. You're going to have to find that rest. You're going to have to find that place of rest. We're living in, you know, a great time of unrest. Rest is not really popular, okay? Turmoil. What? A lot of natural and spiritual and emotional activity just boiling up all around us. Oh my goodness. I mean, you can't escape it. It's just all around you, everywhere. And what does it generate? Fear and frustration and anger. And we can't be a part of that. We have to come from a different place of hope and love and trust. That's why we gather together. That's why we worship together, to find that rest. That rest, what? For our soul, you know? In the Eastern philosophy, when you do this, it connects your heart to your mind. Well, my mind can hardly take it. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. I mean, my mind really likes turmoil. My heart doesn't. My heart, the center, and emotional activity, there's all this confusion. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep them in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Perfect is the word shalom. Peace is the word. In the midst of all this season of disorder and unrest, I will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in me. Trust in the Lord forever. The Lord is what? Everlasting peace. So there's a lasting rest, a lasting peace. It's just not a nap, folks. And I like napping. Oh, my goodness. I can't get Judy to nap. You know, she is a producer doer. Did I ever tell you that, producer doer? Less than 1% of the people in the country, their nature might be producer, but the combination of producer doer is 1%. Try to live with that. Are you ready, Dave? No, not really. Irritating, you know? Oh. I mean, but we make it together. Somehow God's given us the grace to make it together. In verse 10 it says, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." So God demonstrates that we need to rest from our own efforts. We really do. I mean, there is a rest for the people of God. And you need to enter in that into that rest on, I think, a daily basis. I think there should be a daily basis of rest in God, trusting God, whatever that looks like. Means riding your bike. I don't know. You know, that's how Doug, he ride, you know, that's his rest. Walking, reading the Bible. I'm not going to tell you how to find that place, but you need to find that place. And we need to gather together. I like gathering to encourage you to find that place, to exhort you to find that place. Find that place. Find that place where you can recover. Because it's about recovery. I mean, you're just stretched out. Stressed is the key to recovery. Go home and get some rest. Look at Matthew 11. Now, as soon as Sandy told me what the theme was for this month, God dropped rest into my spirit. And like I said, I'm not supposed to do it for 3 weeks. So it's a little underdeveloped. Aren't you glad? But anyway, I mean, there's so much to this idea of rest. Jesus says, come to me. Come unto me. Come unto me. It's an invitation to rest, to closeness, to come close. A daily practice where you cease from your own activity. Might be right before you go to sleep, right when you wake up. You know, when I wake up, I go out and find that place to start my day, because I know that something is going to try to rattle me during the day. You know what I'm talking about? An accident. Anything can happen. Anything can happen, and usually does, that is going to cause you unrest. But you need to move out of a place of trust. And that's what I love about the Word. That's what I love about the Christian life. It brings that kind of life and grace and peace to your whole existence. It's what I've always been looking for. Peace, love, you know, peace out. It's right there for us. Come to me, all you are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That recovery that you're looking for, that comfort that you're looking for, that Holy Spirit that comes alongside to help you when you're just overburdened with life. I mean, how many understand that? Oh my gosh, right before I came, I got my electric bill this morning. Don't meditate on your electric bill. Judy is running around the house turning off all the lights. You know, first thing this morning, turn that light off, you know. I don't know, I mean, there's a lot that can rattle you. And believe me, there's a lot more coming. But we have to be the example of what God did. He rested. And on the seventh day, he rested. He gives us that example. Oh, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from Jesus. I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Spirit, soul, and body. Mind, will, and emotions. Emotions are running crazy. Running crazy. You might say, I don't even know how to pray anymore. How many have said that this week? I don't even know how to pray anymore. But prayer's not a list. It's a lens. I said that 2 weeks ago. It's a lens for us to change how we see things. To see things the way God sees things. To see through that lens of Christ. To see people through that lens. Oh, it makes them so much easier to love. So much easier. Oh, my goodness. It says, I am lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's so opposite of this warring spirit that we keep hearing about. You know, I'm a warrior. I am not a warrior, folks. I'm a lover. Okay? I want to be the best lover. I don't have a warring spirit in me. You know? I'm passive. I'm peaceful. I'm loving and I'm proud of it. You know? Hi, my name's Dave. You know? I mean, that Dave, he was the most gracious person I ever knew. How about put that on my tombstone? You know, he loved Lorna Doones. Woo! I'm telling you, we're in that age where we need this. We need to hear what Jesus is saying. Come unto me, a daily practice where you cease from your own activity. Rest is not inactivity, it's inner activity. That's what it is. We're in a culture that loves activity. Oh my gosh, we're overwhelmed with activity. You know, how did I prepare for this message? I went out last night, had dinner with some friends, and drank a whole lot of coffee. Whew, I didn't know I was going to get the call. But I was ready. I was ready somehow. God's grace. It's a hard issue. Much of today's information hardens our hearts. It does. It just hardens our heart. And we don't even know what's happening. It sneaks up on us. And it hardens our hearts towards what God loves and who God loves. It just, much of the information just hardens us. When you step out of that judgment system, you know, long enough to experience God's love, you become a lover. You become a lover. Oh. In 2 Peter, it says for us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the admonition. Grow in grace. Go in grace. Grow in grace. When you come back here next week, I want to see you more gracious, more loving, more hopeful. Grow in grace. I mean, that's what a pastor wants for his sheep. To be more loving, more gracious, more gentle, more kind, more loving. If he's doing his job, that's what he's going to have. That's what kind of congregation he's going to have. This congregation who sees things through the lens of Christ and becomes more loving. Now we're going to end in Psalm 37. You know, we're going to take communion together this morning. And as we take communion together, you can get up and get your elements for communion at this time. You know, to me, a communion, if you want to stand and go get your elements. For me, for communion is a declaration. It's a declaration of putting our trust in this cross. And as we sang today, in those nail-scarred hands, we shift from our own efforts, our own abilities, our own nature, all the activity that is so prevalent in the church world, just all this activity. And it's not bad activity, folks. It's just, but what season are we in? You know, I went by a church yesterday, And, you know, they had all the inflatables and all this stuff and the harvest, all the harvest stuff and everything. And it was packed. We're not in that season, folks, here. Okay. We cannot pull that off. What season are we in? What season are you in? For some of us, it is this season of rest, reflection, and refreshing. And we can get more done with this little group, okay? And like I said, nothing's wrong with the fall festival and the harvest thing. We've done all that stuff. You've been in it and done all this stuff. But a lot of us just drains the life out of you. It does not bring love and life. Not bad. Absolutely not bad. God bless them. That church is in that season. You know what I mean? They're in that season. I've been part of that season. I thank God I'm not in that season anymore. It just tires me out. What season are we in? We are in a different season. We have to recognize it and embrace it for what it is. And lean not unto our own understanding. It says in Psalm 37, do not fret because of evildoers. Wow. Have you ever seen as much evil? I mean, you can't hide from it. You know, it was just interesting to be out in the streets of Cleveland yesterday and just seeing, you know, all the stuff. I do think Halloween is going to become the main holiday in the United States. You know, it's just amazing. For some reason, people just love it. Wow. It's odd. It's different. But it's the season the country's in. Nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. How simple is that? I mean, this is so foundational. Ron could preach this so good. I know he could, you know. Whatever's in your hand, whatever your hand finds it to do, it's right there. Trust in the Lord and do good. Not complicated. Not hard. You don't have to go to a conference for it to get the anointing to do it, okay? It's already yours. It's in your hand. It's right there. It's right here. Oh, my gosh. I had so much fun with Doug and Rhonda yesterday. Well, we just went a place and we're nice to people and loved on people. And, oh, it was so much fun to do good. To love people and do good. Oh, it says, dwell in the land. Don't leave the nation, okay? Don't abandon ship. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Oh, that's what we're going to do right now. Oh, feed on his faithfulness. This communion that we take this morning, this bread and juice is a reminder that we have a different food, a different bread, a different source. Let's just take the bread together. We have a bread that they know not of. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Whew. Let's drink the juice together. And as you're doing that, think of the desires of your heart. What you want to see for your families, yourself, your families, those around you. What do you want to see? And then just rest in it as you take this communion. Just rest. Commit your ways to the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're just committing our lives and our ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Wow. Isn't that amazing? He will bring it to pass. Man, that's a seems like a tall order in this hour. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light. When you live this kind of life, resting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, your light will shine. Your light will shine for all to see. And your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. At least once a day. Okay? Find that place of rest. Find that place of rest and wait patiently for Him. I don't know what you're waiting for, but I'm waiting for God to do something above and beyond what we can ask or think. More than we can even know. More than we even know. It says, do not fret. Don't fret because of him who prospers his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Phew. What clear instructions. I love that about the Bible. You could chew on this all next week. And that's what I encourage you to do. Read Psalm 37 and really just chew on those verses just all week as we look forward to, you know, Sandy coming back, as we come together to celebrate Judy's life, and who knows else what comes up there in the middle of the week. But you need to be ready by resting in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we just come together again and again, praising you and thanking you, Lord, for what you're doing in our behalf, what you're doing beyond what we can even ask or think. Lord, we are not moved by what we see, but what we believe. And we just ask your blessing, peace and grace be multiplied upon your people this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.